Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Hello, it's me.
Hello again.
Hello.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we go on this New Year's Eve.
It's time to take a look at the pros and cons of making a New Year's resolution.
Did you make any resolutions for New Year's?
We all know we never stick to our own resolutions.
My resolution is to be more fun.
My New Year's resolution is to learn how to play guitar.
My New Year's resolution is to not gain weight.
I also resolve not to eat any more fruits or vegetables.
My New Year's resolution is to do a good deed daily.
I denounce thee for giving people ambitions they cannot fulfill.
And as we head into the new year, I'm hopeful that we have what it takes to face that change and come out even stronger.
We'll see how that works out. And good evening and happy New Year's Eve. Almost bye-bye 2015. The countdown is on, less than 2 hours to go on the East Coast. My God, it was so bizarre. I have to tell you, watching what was going on in the UAE in Dubai today with the Burj, you know, the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world. It's almost a mile high. And, you know, it's 11:30 here. It's 11:30 p.m. over there. And then this hotel that was on the other side of the man-made lake from the Burj, you know, the entire building caught on fire from the 20th floor up. This is a 63-foot story building. And, you know, it's almost midnight and the entire thing is flaming. I mean, it's just like out of control. It was surreal to watch it. Now, thankfully, nobody died.
Which is surreal in and of itself.
Right, right.
That's unbelievable.
There were injuries, but then they went on with the fireworks celebration, and I just thought, this is a really weird way to start 2016. Yes. So I guess it's a good thing that, you know, that it worked out okay. But it was super bizarre to see the fireworks off of this mile-high building in Dubai, but yet, if you look, you know, pan right, there's an entire building on fire, you know, a high-rise at that. All right, let's get to it. We've got a lot of show to get to on this New Year's Eve 2015 here in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And Michael Finney.
Surprise!
Is my guest from Channel 7
at KGO. The hardest working man in showbiz.
Yes. How many gigs do you have, Michael? How necessary is that? You make me tired just looking at you.
That didn't come out right.
No, well, of course not. You're a TV guy. You always look good.
He jogged across the street in his fabulous TV makeup.
I know, right?
I stay busy. I stay busy.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining me because I'm a bit, as I said, you know, I've been telling Heather for a long time, let's get Michael Finney in here. You know, I love Michael Finney. He's a great guy. And then I did not even know until I was working at KGO for about 6 months. I turned on KGO over the weekend and one day, and there you were.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that dude works here.
Yeah. See, I'm an easy get.
You would think.
You would think.
He's like, my producer, Heather, should be able to get this guy. Doesn't she know him?
All right. So we've got a lot.
And on New Year's Eve, no less.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so I appreciate that.
Sure thing.
Yeah, so you have to be a good boy. I mean, that was always my problem with hanging out with TV guys. They always had to behave.
Well, people do know what we look like.
I know. That's a suck thing. I mean, radio people, my God, the great thing was when I was in Chicago, you know, over a decade or in Texas, as long as I kept my mouth shut, I was fine. You know, but then you get that recognize the voice thing. But when I would hang out with my TV sport, like one of my best friends was the big sports guy, and all hell's bells, and he was a naughty bad boy. But we would go out and people would recognize him, and he's like, oh, we have to leave, dude, you know, because I can't get hammered in public.
I'm going to tell you, here at KGO, in the past at certain times, there's been really, really fun people here. And they decide they're going to go to clubs that I just simply cannot attend. And so,
I bet, right. Yes,
so
isn't that
like,
strange?
We're all going, and it's like, yes. And then it sounds like so much fun. And then they say where we're going. It's like, I'll see you guys on Monday.
I know, right?
The one across the street?
There'd be one, yeah.
And you know, and by the way, so I'm thinking in the late 90s, you know, this was going on, my God, from 93 till 2002. my run in Texas, running around with TV people. But that's before everybody had iPhones. You know, right. It's just, my God, now it must really be hell for you guys.
You have to be very careful. You turn around and someone's taking your picture. Absolutely, all the time.
So you've been doing this for a long time.
I have been.
In itself, the iPhone, which, by the way, this is astounding to me that, you know, we were talking about how time flies. We did this last night with one of our guests. You know, it was only 2007 that the iPhone came around.
Wow.
It seems like we've had it for 100 years, and what would we do without it? But it's only been since 2007.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This is how old I am. When I started in television news, we were not yet asking people if they had videotape of something. Like when you would arrive on a scene of a disaster or an event, we were not yet asking that because people normally did not have video.
Right.
It was very rare to take it. So then after a while, we would ask, you would say, are there security cameras? And that would be one of your first questions as you were going around. Now the first thing everybody says is, can I have your video? Because you know there's video.
Right.
Or you just look on social media and someone had shot it and thrown it up with a hashtag.
Exactly. Our producers back at the station are finding it and calling up our general assignment reporters and telling them what video they have.
Yeah, that's got to be...
very weird.
That's got to be tough. Now, and you're a fun guy and you have a fun gig. But being, you know, if you have to be a serious anchor, one of your lead anchors over there at Channel 7, oh, my God, where can you go? You have to lock yourself in the house to be misbehaving.
What you end up doing
because everybody's human, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there's an app for that.
Believe it or not.
I think we now know why you never went into television.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. You know, I've always been told I have a face for radio, but I did discover, you know, the discretion of being on the radio is if you're into the fame thing. And let's, by the way, I mean, you know, of course, growing up, that was a really fun part of doing Top 40 radio.
Sure.
Because it was massive. For instance, you know, the decade long run at Kiss in Chicago, that was so much fun. But I did absolutely recognize the power of radio and the power of media. And I would say to myself, you know what? Thank God I chose radio. As long as I keep my mouth shut, for the most part, I'm okay. Now towards the end of the decade there, you know, when social media came along, then more and more people recognized me by looks. But the whole TV thing, man, I'm just telling you, you know. Okay.
People are really nice to me, though. I mean, we really need to, you know, make that point.
Guy.
That everybody's very good to me. So it's far from a chore to, you know, walk around in this world for me.
Exactly, because you're the consumer guy and you're the good guy. You're the go-to guy.
Finny Free Stuff.
Right.
Hello.
Finny Free Fridays. I mean, it's just fantastic. I just love it. Yeah, I would trade shoes for you. Because I'm a tame boy now. I'm a good boy.
I'd be okay with
doing television. Right, yeah. I'm all mellowed out now.
Hashtag nasty habits.
Not many, Heather.
Not anymore.
I know, right? Okay, we've got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Michael Finney. We'll continue our conversation, the top consumer stories of 2015. If you have a consumer problem or, you know, something went wrong over Christmas, or I heard you talk about on Channel 7 tonight, credit card debt, those sort of things,
rising again.
Yeah, I know, and I thought we were all being good boys and girls with that and paying that stuff off. 808-0810 is the number.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Looking out on the morning rain.
Oh, it's my girlfriend Aretha Franklin. Feet from stardom. I want to be the backup singer. My producer just whispered in my ear. Okay. Take it away, Carole King's song. Here we go. I thought Carole King was going to come undone. Last night during the Kennedy Center Honors, Aretha Franklin graced the stage to perform her song, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, to honor Carole King.
And you saw the Obamas watching in the audience.
Oh.
Barack wiped away a little, shed a little tear. But then they kind of were dancing and everything, like getting down.
Well, she is the queen of soul. All right, we'll give her that. But I had to live with her for 3 years in Detroit. That was...
You were roomies?
Not so much.
That sounds like a madcap little sitcom
Not so much. You know, if she's your hero and she's your queen of soul, let her be your queen of soul. There's a different side. And I saw it.
She's the Wicked Witch of the
Gold Coast. I'm not saying that.
I know. I'm putting words in your mouth, but the way you told me the story, she was like, and your little dog, too, Drex.
She didn't get along. We lived in a tower, okay? So, you know, the way this would work is I'd take my dog out. And, by the way, she had a dog, too. But, you know, and when I would take my dog out, the elevator door would open, and there she would be. And she goes, I'm not getting on this elevator with that thing. And I would just push the close sign. See ya.
See, and I think this makes a great sitcom.
And this went on and on and on and on and on for years. I mean, I tried to make nice with her, but it's just...
How did you do that? How did you try?
I would say things like, Aretha, you know, we really need to stop, you know, being nasty to each other because it's just ridiculous. You have a dog. I have a dog. Who cares? The dogs like each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I'm a nice person. Yeah. But she would always have her peeps with her, and the deal was, yes, but, you know, Miss Franklin gets the elevator to herself. I said, no, she doesn't. There's 1,000 other people that live in this tower. Oh my God.
I can see where you'd react like when Newman would walk in the room on Seinfeld. You're like, Franklin.
Yeah.
That's what she'd do when she'd see me or anybody else that wanted to get in the elevator with them. Like,
Did she have the penthouse?
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. Fine. That's cool. Yeah. I don't really. Yeah.
I just wonder.
Okay, so Michael Finney is our guest, and let's talk about some of the top consumer stories of 2015.
Okay.
Rent.
I got to tell you, what I think is the most interesting thing that happened on rent this year is what nobody is talking about, which is San Francisco apparently hit its ceiling because rents dropped 0.3%. Now, I get it. That's not a lot. But they stopped growing, I think it was in October, and then fell back 0.3%. Now, the median rent for a one-bedroom, they say, is $3,500. I don't know if you can get one for $3,500. In the financial district, they say it's around $4,000. San Jose's at $2,200. Oakland's at about $2,000. And I think all of those are, you know, I don't know. Maybe. I don't think you can really go get...
How many people are you queuing up with to get in there?
Right. And is it nice enough for you to live? Is it safe enough for you to live? Is it, you know, varmint-free? So, remember, you're taking the best and the worst and then saying, here's the one in the middle. Well, most of us, I think, want to be slightly above the middle if we can. And I don't think that's possible anymore.
Well,
and here's the other thing that's bumming me out. All these kids are in town. They're making a ton of money in the high-tech field, and they're blowing all of it on overpriced restaurants and rent. It's killing me.
That's right. Yes, it is their disposable income. They're not saving.
And yet they're making such good money. This is like the gold rush. It may not last. I wish they were pocketing some. And granted, I was young and I never pocketed
all
a dime.
All booms have a bust. You know, all you have to do is look at history. All boom, especially this town knows this. Booms have a bust.
Over and over again.
And it will. It will cycle out. When the tech companies say goodbye, you know what? Seattle or Dallas sounds a little better to us. This place will just fold.
That's not going to happen. I disagree with you.
Well, it's not going to fold, but I mean, you know, I think there will be a housing bust.
I think especially one-bedroom and two-bedroom places that are right now going for $1 million, $1.2 million,
$1.3 million.
I don't think there's that many people for that long a time that are going to want a one-bedroom.
Okay, so I just found this, I think today, a millennial with a median income in San Francisco of $47,426 can afford to buy a 135-square-foot home, if such a house existed. That's smaller than the 9-foot by 18-foot dimensions of what many cities would consider a full-size parking space out front, like, you know, that Chevy in front of the subway. That's what they could afford to buy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I know. So, yeah, it is. And we were just Michael said, well, how'd you find a place to live? Just by luck, it was just somebody, my other half, she knew somebody that she went to high school with in Texas, and they just pushed the other 50 applicants out of the way and gave it to us. But boy, I just hate this. This anxiety that people feel trying to, take care of housing.
Here's the key, is that I grew up here. So it's always been horrible. It's always been double anywhere else that you ever wanted to live, and every place else is nicer, blah, blah, blah. I've heard that since I was a little kid. The deal is you've got to eventually start saving your money, and then you get in. And then 10 years later, you're a rich genius. And it's just right. That's how it works.
I agree with you. Yes.
You come
yes.
up with a down payment, right, right. And then you're a rich financial genius, and you lord it over everybody you know. But you just have to get in.
You have to
horrible.
Dive in. Right. Yeah. And it's expensive. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
If
they
want
to sell the
house,
I'm going to buy it. Right.
Yeah, eat tuna out of a can, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, is that we live in a wonderful place with great restaurants and a lot to do. The theater here is phenomenal. And you've got to start paring that back if you're going to get your down payment together. I mean, I hate to give people the bad news, but really, at some point, you're going to have to do that.
Well, and you're going to Johnny Funsheep and Broke-Ass Stewart websites to find your fun.
Right, right, right,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting because when people around the country, and I have friends from being in radio all over the place who are driving, they are my vibrator in my pants because it's New Year's Eve. Oh, my God. They're all drunk, and they think I'm out partying. I'm working. It's like ding, 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 ding in my pants. But anyway, so I have to tell you, I think that it's justified because it is one of the most beautiful places to live. I love living here. So everybody else must think the same thing. That's why it's so damn expensive.
I would like to point out that we have no bugs.
That's an amazing thing. I actually have windows that I can keep open for a month at a time and nothing comes in.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Almost
every day it's 70 degrees. I love that.
Right. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's so funny that you mentioned the bug thing. Because Sharon and I were having that discussion. I said, this place doesn't have any damn bugs. We let the back door open for the dog for hours. I'm thinking there's got to be critters in the house or bugs. No. Yeah. Nothing.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
If you've lived anywhere else, you know how amazing.
Yes. I love that you noticed that. Okay. All right. Or that you shared that with me. Okay. We're going to be back with Michael Finney. I got to take a break, and we're talking about the top consumer stories of 2015. 808-0810 is the number. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Happy New Year's. Yes. From KGO 810.
Radio to feed your brain. The Drex Radio Show. Weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
This year will be bittersweet, though, Jimmy, because it's obviously the first time he hasn't been there in so many years. I've never done it by myself here on ABC, and he always takes midnight and counts us right down to the to the Happy New Year.
It was an American institution for sure. Yeah, that will be a little bit strange.
So I'm not quite sure.
I think you'll be good. I think you'll be fine. I mean, essentially, what you're doing is you're filling 3 hours with watching a ball slowly go down.
Such an art. There's such an art.
I mean, it is an art, really.
And I have no experience with balls dropping, no matter what you're thinking right now.
Give it time. 2 years.
I know,
that's
Ryan.
A Dr. Dean joke.
Are you sure about that? Okay. Okay. But by the way, referring obviously to the late, great Dick Clark, who passed away a number of years ago. And that was the first time he was counting down. So that was bringing in 2013. Ryan Seacrest doing it by himself. But by the way, the celebration in Times Square goes back to 1904. So that's a long time. That's a long history.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Been around a long, long time.
111
years.
Celebrate that.
Yes.
It's the 111th.
I know. And Anderson, we're looking at Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin, and we'll be your radio versions thereof tonight.
Yeah, red hair.
Right.
Nice looking guy with glasses.
9 o'clock.
They need to get themselves a financial guy. That's what we have over them.
See, Michael Finney, you should stick around till 9 o'clock. You could get video of us in our underwear. We'll strip down like those guys do.
I don't think I could take
that. Could cause some scandal at Channel 7.
Yeah, it could.
Okay, so we're talking about the top, Finney's top consumer stories of 2015, and rising rents was one of them.
Yeah.
The price of oil dropping.
Fascinating. It's unique. What has happened is there's a lot going on, and it happens in individual markets, but the main thing that's happened is fracking has released so much natural gas. And that has changed the world. So Saudi Arabia is trying to get their market share back.
That's right.
And so they're selling oil very, very cheaply in an order to put the frackers out of business.
And by the way, they're doing it. And that and you're right, Michael's right on with this. They have a mission. They're going to keep pumping until we are out of business, out of the oil business.
And that is amazing.
That is
exactly
what they're going to do. Yeah.
To pull that off.
I think they do. It'll be back to $5 a gallon. And then the great ripoff is the California pricing. You know, the rest of the country paying now $1.56, you know, and we're supposed to be impressed that it's $2.67 or $2.70.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right.
I'm not impressed.
There's a lot going on why that happens. One, but the major thing is we have a very small market. Other oil doesn't get to us. It's not all because we have our own special blend.
Right.
That's what they always want to blame it on.
Of course.
Part of it. But anybody else could go make that. But then you got to get it here. And then you got to get somebody to buy it from you here. And so that kind of becomes insurmountable to keep the price where you can make money doing
that. They're oil companies. They know that we're still going to buy we don't care.
We
just buy into the gap.
Thought
so
it was supply and demand
gap.
And
right.
or they'll price it at what the market will allow,
well,
I guess,
I,
or
hey,
until
I,
it's a pain point. And it's never a pain point here, right?
Part of the deal is, now it depends on which side. The oil companies say we're just going about our business. It's supply and demand. Now, if you talk to people, for instance, at Consumer Watchdog, they say that's not what's happening at all. They, on purpose, at the exact height of the need of gasoline, they shut down refineries for repairs.
Yes, and retooling.
And so there's
less of that
gasoline available, and then the price goes up.
That's what they say occurred. Here's another great example. So, obviously, the price of jet fuel has plummeted also. Has your airline ticket price gone down? and the people who are really cashing in are the cruise lines. With their fuel, I mean, it's like, you know, a fifth or a sixth or a seventh of what it used to be. And, of course, they're still charging the same thing.
And cruise lines are still charging a fuel surcharge.
I love that.
The airlines dropped off. It's kind of like, oh, we better knock it off.
Right.
People are getting pissed.
Right.
Yeah.
But not the cruise ships. They're still doing it.
Okay. We're talking Finney's top consumer stories of 2015. Michael Finney, my guest here on KGO, the airbag recall with Takata.
Yeah, Takata, 19 million vehicles being recalled, 12 different manufacturers, I think 100 different models. You can go online, Google it, and go find out if your car is involved. It probably is. And it sent flying shrapnel through a car, and it appears as if that they knew that this was happening. So they knew that they were killing people. And so 8 people died, 100 people injured. They're paying a $70 million fine, and the lawsuits haven't even started yet.
And then, you know, speaking of they knew it and they were cheating, there's Volkswagen. And, oh, my God, that is so horrible for the people of California. I just think because, you know, we were thinking green.
Right.
We were thinking more miles per gallon, and we were getting ripped off.
And that was unbelievable. And when you looked at, especially like you say, the Californians have bought this car. They bought it to be green.
That's right.
That was a major, major selling point here. And so Volkswagen at first was trying to squirrel around that a little bit, especially Volkswagen of America. Their head guy was going, well, we think it's just our engineers. It's like, no.
A bunch of engineers didn't come up with it.
I got an idea. We'll do something without this multinational company knowing about it.
Now they're going to have some exemption for California cars because it's not fair. I mean, you know, unless they come up with some, Volkswagen comes up with some fix, yeah, these cars are big polluters and they will not pass the emissions test. But it's not fair to put it all on the backs of the owners when they did nothing wrong.
Right, nor the dealerships. But what we saw when this all happened, we thought, let's test this quickly and see if dealerships would try to sell these things to get them off their floor. They did the exact opposite. Before being told, we had people call around. We had people go into Volkswagen dealerships, and every single one said, no, we can't do it. We don't know what's going on. We don't want you to be in a bad situation.
Well, that's good to hear.
They were absolutely fabulous. Now, you know, would you like another Volkswagen? But this one, we're not going to sell you right now. And I thought they were just absolutely fabulous. What a great group of dealerships here in the Bay Area. And we didn't get to every one, but the ones we got to were all totally honorable. When this was early on, so, you know, you think, well, maybe they'd try to duck out from underneath it, and they didn't do that. Not at all.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Okay. As we discuss Finney's top consumer stories of 2015, well, how could we not mention this, the autonomous driverless car?
Look, the state just issued proposed rules that say you have to have a licensed driver, you've got to have a steering wheel, a brake, and a gas. So in case something goes wrong, someone can do something
about
it.
Just like an airplane.
Which is exactly what none of these manufacturers wanted to hear. And here's what I think this is about. Now, this is Michael Finney's opinion. This is not about you getting a driverless car. This is about semi-trucks going up and down our interstates without anybody in them. That's the last big middle-class job. 4 million drivers in this country. And now they all make about $60,000 a year. Not the world's best money, but if you live in the middle of the country, darn good money. They would love to drop those people. And I think that's what this is all about.
Ugh, that's incredible. That's
that makes money. Me sick to my stomach.
I know.
It really does.
It,
yeah.
it kind of does. It's interesting because, you can't stand to see more people lose their jobs. Although it does seem like a safer way to move goods.
Well, and I like... And
well,
I like
railroads. How about railroads?
Railroads were always good.
Sure, yes, but that's part of the infrastructure that's falling apart in this country. Yeah. I like the autonomous car thing, and I think it'll be great, especially as I and, you know, we all get older. There will come a time when we can't drive, and I think that'll be fantastic. Those who are disabled, handicapped, or their shut-ins, These are wonderful things just around the corner.
I'm with you. I love the idea. You know, Detroit has showed up here in the Silicon Valley, like, in a very big way. Everyone's got huge research and development now.
Google, I mean, now it's working
happening
with Ford.
Yes. Right.
And
those guys working
that's
together.
Kaboom.
It's huge. The problem is, at this point, the manufacturers, high-tech guys, have always had a really horrible track record of being transparent. They tend to be cowboys and cowgirls, and they tend to kind of not really deal with the rules of the world. So now this isn't just software. This is stuff that can kill your baby. So maybe we need a lot of transparency while we're deciding how we're going to do this.
Yes.
I had a guy on my show the other day from Consumer Watchdog, and he said, here's the choice that you have to make as a driver. A little old lady steps out in front of your car. If you swerve, you hit a baby carriage.
Right.
Are you willing to do that? And are you willing to have a 23-year-old programmer make that decision for you? Mm-hmm. And so these are the decisions we're going to have to come to. And I think we will, but we need to decide this as a society, not as an industry trying to make a buck.
And, Michael, you won't be surprised to hear this because I just read yesterday a big story on this. The lawyers are just lining up. They're drooling.
Oh, I'm sure.
The plaintiffs and the possibilities are endless. Okay, I've got to take a break. We'll be back. And Michael Finney is my guest from Channel 7 and KGO.
News on KGO 810. Then talk about it on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Happy New Year from the Drex Radio Show on KGO, along with Heather and John Lobertini in the KGO newsroom. And KGO's very own Michael Finney is here to talk to us this evening. Look at us. We booked a guest, and it's Michael Finney on New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God.
That's the power of Heather.
Can we get
that's
an
why
autograph?
I love her, yes. I said, we're sure as hell not going to get anyone to be our guest on New Year's Eve. But Michael Finney has come through, and I love it. You're welcome on the show anytime. I think you're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so we're talking about your top consumer stories of 2015. Let's talk about drones.
Okay. We know about the safety. We know that they just said you have to register them, pay $5. By the way, if you register them before February 21st, I think it is, you don't have to pay the $5. So you might want to get on that.
I just don't see all of
incentive.
these toy ones being registered. Yeah, I know they have to be, but I'm not buying it.
It's not going to happen. Here's my concern with it. As a longtime privacy advocate, you're going to lose more of your privacy.
Right. And they want to know who you are.
Yeah. Right. Earlier, you guys were talking about cell phones and the cameras and how we've lost a lot of privacy. Let me give you an example of that. In Germany, I guess it was very common in a lot of major cities that on lunch hours, women would go out and sunbathe topless in order not to have the lines. And nobody thought anything about it. It was no big deal until everybody had a camera on their phone.
Right.
And then that completely ended.
And now you see all these horrible tan lines. I mean, what's a girl to do?
So this isn't about me. No, but I'm saying that changed society.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, it changed something that nobody even thought about there. And America would be a big deal. Apparently, it wasn't a big deal there. Totally changed it because everybody's like, I don't want my picture taken. I'm just trying to, you know, lay out in a park on my lunch hour.
Right.
Well, drones are going to do the same thing.
Mm.
They're going to be over your house.
Well,
over your backyard.
I know that this isn't going to happen in the Bay Area, although it may. But where I grew up in Pennsylvania, I know what my friends will be doing. They'll be shooting them down. That'll be target practice.
Yeah, I don't doubt that even around here with
for sure.
Yeah.
The rest of middle of America, they're going to have a lot of fun with these things. They're going to be and forget the clay.
Skeet.
Right, forget the clay pigeons. Yeah, they're drones. And I don't really blame them. You know what? Yeah, I don't want that noise over my house.
No.
I think it's an invasion of privacy when, you know, the helicopter's spinning over top. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's like you're in L.A.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so do you, I mean, you've seen things like this come and go. I mean, is the drone really going to take off? No pun intended.
What you're going to see is you're going to see news agencies are going to use them like all over the place, or police agencies. They're going to be all over the place.
And then maybe we'll just see more restrictions to where private people don't really have them.
They're just so cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, bad guys are going to have them. And even, you know, private investigators are going to have them.
Yeah, cats out of the bag. Okay, let's talk about drug prices.
Okay, so we all know about Martin Shkreli, you know, that Mr. Wonderful.
Douchebag.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Well, what is nice about him, though, is that he is pointing out that drug prices are out of control. And the big thing that's going on that people are not even talking about yet is where we used to have five or six generic makers all doing the same drug. Mm-hmm. Gee, somehow we just have one generic maker now. And they charge the same amount or nearly the same amount as a brand name drug. What is going on here? Where are the Senate hearings about this?
Well, now two of the big drug companies just merged. Am I correct?
Right. Even going to be worse.
Right. Yeah. So there's collusion there. There's got to be antitrust. I can't believe the government's going to let it fly.
But it's happening now. And I think his incredibly poor behavior, and he's not the only one. A lot of them were buying all these orphan drugs up and doubling
the
price or whatever.
Drugs, yep.
Very few people were doing what he did. Yeah. But I think it's pointing out, and people are kind of getting to the point, you know, in Europe, they don't pay these prices for drugs. Our American drug buyers are supporting the entire world. We pay the freight.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure about that. There's no doubt about it.
So because the laws are different in other lands, they get drugs
they
that
just
are made here.
Right, because they generally have, nationalized medicine in almost every country in the world. Any country that has money to buy drugs, it's nationalized medicine. And they just won't buy it if it's a ripoff.
Okay, so...
That's fantastic. So silver lining of Shkreli is that he revealed that we're getting gouged.
Grabbed our attention.
Yeah.
Grabbed our attention.
Okay, good. That's the good news then. Yeah.
So what do you want to wrap on here? Because I know you need to get back to Channel 7.
I think the worker rights thing is really big. And this year it started taking off. New York City is talking about how they're going to demand that contractors be paid when the work is done. Right now, as you know, if you're a contractor, you can spend 3 or 4 months running around trying to get your pay.
Your 120 days.
Right. Yeah, it's baloney.
Yeah, that is BS.
Cheerleaders in the state of California will now be employees, which means they have to be paid for practice. They have to be paid when they show up to put on a uniform. And we can all laugh about this, but this is very important that they're saying, nope. And so we're beginning. And then in Europe, I love what they did in Paris. Uber did not go with the laws. So they arrested two executives. Can you imagine an American executive be arrested? No.
Never
Paris,
happens.
You get arrested. You don't, you know, and so they're duking it out. I'm sure they're saying we were abiding by the law or whatever. But at least at some point somebody said, I don't think you're following the law. We're going to arrest you. And that comes back. That's a workers' issue. And then the Democratic Party, sadly, only cares about a minimum wage, not a working wage. But still, they're looking at $15 an hour. And the Republican Party is saying, we've got problems with disparity. So I think this is the year of the worker movement beginning. Thank you.
Very good.
Love it.
Michael Finney, love you very much.
Thank you.
We'll see you tonight again. Well, actually, we'll see you. I guess I would imagine you have a couple days off now.
Yes. I got to work tomorrow, but I'm going home tonight.
Okay,
I got stuff
very good.
To do tonight.
Tomorrow on Channel 7. And on the weekend, your show on KGO?
This weekend will be 3 to 5, and I'm normally around those hours.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. It was great meeting you, and I loved having you in. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you. It was fun hanging out.
All right. We'll be back with more of the Drex Radio Show and on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.